In the last, about the last year here at Emmanuel, I start to say it's been a hard year, but understand the context for a moment. It's been a hard year just because a lot of our faithful workers have gone home to be with the Lord Jesus. From Brother Ray and Miss Eileen to Granny Moon to Ruby Lewis to which and others, please forgive me, my mind's slipping me right now, but several others, but then also Brother and Sister Randolph. When we got to thinking about, especially Brother and Sister Randolph, Brother Randolph was a preacher for many, many, many years. Brother Randolph actually served here, I believe, on two different occasions as interim pastor or pastor, Brother Tommy. And Brother Randolph passed away, and then about 6 months later, Mrs. Randolph went on to be with the Lord. And there was quite a bit of money donated in their honor. And what I talked to Nancy and Tommy, and of course they talked to Joanne, about what we could do in honor of Brother and Sister Randolph. So Miss Nancy, if you and Brother Tommy, was Joanne able to make it? That's okay. Come, if you and Brother Tommy will come up here, that'll be wonderful. Can you do that? What we were able to do with the money that was given, I'm so excited about this. I really, really am. I'll let Miss Nancy come up. Brother Randolph proclaimed the Word of God for many, many years. And the Word of God was very special to him. Come ahead. You mind coming up? You mind if I shake your hand coming up the steps like my wife did this morning? Come on over. Brother Stephen actually kind of took the spirit on this. And in honor of Brother and Sister Randolph, we had King James Bibles that we actually filled the pews with two per pew in honor of Brother and Sister Randolph. And they're really beautifully engraved. And we did get extras that we want to present to you. And then also your sister Joanne. But then there's also something really special today. A few months back, we voted to license two of the preachers in our church, Brother Joe Schultz and also Brother Stephen Clark. And let me read a verse of Scripture, and then I'll explain why I'm reading this. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter number 14, verse 13, John says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." In honor of Brother Randolph, of course, we voted to license these two young men. So, Joe, if you and Brother Stephen will come forward, and then I'll explain what with Brother Randolph why we're doing what we're doing. Brother Joe, here's your certificate of license. And Brother Stephen, here's your certificate of license. This indicates that we've recognized as a church the call of ministry on these two young men. And we've seen them grow in their preaching, and they've been preaching in the pulpit. As a matter of fact, Brother Stephen and I, not together, but we're actually going to be out of town at the same time, leaving tomorrow. He's going to be on vacation with his family in Florida, and then I'll be preaching a conference in Florida. So Brother Joe Schultz will be preaching next Sunday night. Wednesday night, one of our newest members, Brother Michael Jackman, will be preaching Wednesday night. Next Sunday morning, Brother Jim Jones will be preaching. Now, in honor of Brother Randolph, we were able to put the Bibles in the pews in honor of Brother and Sister Randolph, but also we had some money left over. And I got to thinking about it, and I thought, you know, Brother Randolph was a preacher, and he was not only a preacher, Miss Nancy, he was a friend to preachers. When I first came here, he became a friend to me. I'd go visit him. I used to say it was a visit, but I needed some encouragement. I needed some, honestly, truly, I needed some advice on different situations. So I'd go over, and man, he'd pour into me. And then he'd say something like this: "Wait a minute." He'd walk into his bedroom. He'd come out with an article from 40 years prior. And he said, "Preacher, this article will help you with what you're dealing with right now at the church." And talking to him. But with the money left over, what I decided to do, and even ran it by Miss Nancy, and she goes, "That's a wonderful idea. The Bible says that their works do follow them." So I'd like to, they didn't come in time, which I'm kind of upset, kind of bothered by that. But with the extra money, you can go ahead and put it on the screen, guys. We bought Brother Stephen and Brother Joe a beautiful Cambridge leather Cambridge Bible, very, very nice Bible in honor of Brother and Sister Randolph. And their works will follow them. And I told Nancy, I said, one of the things that we're kind of looking at is this, as a preacher, you know, you guys have the call of God in your life. And Brother Randolph was such a testimony to preachers. And my encouragement to both of you guys when you get those Bibles is pick up the torch and run with it and preach till you die like Brother Randolph did. And so, amen. another just a beautiful thing we're really excited about. I told Brother Stephen about an idea that I had with the baptismal area. And there was a painting up there and had been there for a long, long time. I believe it was in the original building. And the painting, if you touched it, the painting would literally, the dust would fall from the paint. And I said, man, what if we did a cross? I said, I think that'd look beautiful. You know, I've seen that in other churches and things. And once again, Brother Stephen said, hey, no problem, I'll take care of that. So, fellas, if you don't mind, take that up. I want you to see something. We've been keeping this a secret. What am I doing? Down in front? All right. How's that? Is that better? Okay, go ahead. Isn't that nice? Very, very beautiful. And on a personal note, there's one more person that I want to personally thank. And Brother Stephen and I absolutely were talking about this. We've been talking about this for a while. And one of the unsung heroes that really made this possible was my secretary, Amy Kaiser. She was, instrumental is an understatement. To keep track of us is a full-time job. And I appreciate, where's Miss Amy at? Do I see her? She's right there. And she's got tears in her eyes, and I wanted that. Amy, we love you dearly. We're grateful to have you as a church secretary. You're doing a fantastic job. And this church loves you more than life. Amen? She was never a dull moment. You have to understand, we ran her out of her office when we were renovating. Stephen put her in a little bitty cubby hole upstairs. And when he got to her, he come down one day and goes, hey, we need to blow out the computers. And he blew mine out, and there's dust everywhere. But when he blew out Amy's, you couldn't even walk in the door because there was so much dust in that computer. But no, we're thankful for Miss Amy, doing a great job. And she, one thing I love about her, she screens my calls. Can I get a witness in the building? What a joy! And but again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you all so much for making this a tremendous, tremendous thing. I'm going to preach a message just for a few moments, but afterwards, we encourage you to walk around. There's really only two areas that aren't completed yet, and it's pretty much the little stairwell here. We've got some painting to do. There's some stuff in there right now, and then also in actually Miss Bonnie's classroom, there's some stuff in there. But everything else, we want you to walk around, take a look. Feel free to walk through Amy's office and my office, and take a look. Actually, Brother Stephen's bathroom, we still have to finish that up, so we got a little bit more work to do, but for the most part, you know, so he's just not able to do the restroom right now, so just pray for Brother Stephen. But for the most part, everything's just about done. We've got some things outside to take care of, but the weather didn't allow us to do that. So that kind of gives you a summary of what's been happening, what's taking place. So if you would be so kind, go ahead and open your Bibles today, this afternoon, to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 24. The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 24. Babe, will you hand me that bottle of water, please? Keep coming. Keep coming. Shake hands. My wife is a mess, and you have to understand, for those of you that may be visiting this morning, she's saying a special. And I, being the kind, you know, gentle husband that I am, I come to the steps to help her down the steps. And rather than taking my hand very eloquently, she shook my hand and walked down the steps. So I just can't believe she did that. What we're going to do today, we started in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, pretty much when we started this process. We did the chest of Joash. Many of you, all of you perhaps from Emmanuel, are very familiar with this passage in the Bible. But what I want to do today is just kind of talk about it from the perspective of finishing a work for the work of the Lord. Of course, we know that the word finishing really isn't a necessarily a proper word because it isn't finished, it isn't done. But maybe this, perhaps this phase is near the completion line. And we're grateful for that. As Brother Stephen shared with you a moment ago, our goal, and we know it to be of God, is perhaps in the next 5 to 7 years, depending on however, you know, whatever the Lord does as far as to pay off this renovation. Our goal is to get this paid off. There's actually money still owed on the second parsonage. We want to get that paid down, and you all are giving, and I'm very appreciative of that. You're giving faithfully. Your pledges, your building fund pledges are continuing to come in. And that's really helping to pay it down and pay it down as fast as we can. But we started in this process out of 2 Chronicles chapter number 24. So we're gonna finish in that. Now the Nehemiah passage that you can reference is found in the book of Nehemiah, where it says that the people had a mind to work. You know, things. My pastor used to tell me. He said, "You know, Tracy," he says, "things don't just happen; they happen just." And I think that's really indicative of what has happened here at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. This didn't just happen. It happened just as you all prayed and just planned and really set your mind to work to get things done. It's remarkable. I mean, seriously, it is remarkable to see what God has done here at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. If you had been here about 10 and a half years ago, it wasn't what it is today. My wife and I, we had the privilege of coming here in December of 2002. And God, we knew. We honestly, sincerely knew. We prayed about it and we knew that it was God's will for us to come. But we also knew and felt deeply in our heart that God wasn't done here at Emmanuel. God wasn't done with this ministry. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ had it right at the right spot to take off with it. And I think that's what God has done and continues to do. And so with this passage of Scripture, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word, 2 Chronicles chapter number 24, and we'll start our reading here in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abiah of Beersheba." And notice verse 2, "And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest." Skip down verse 4. "And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, 'Go out into the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of the Lord, of the house of your God, from year to year. And see that ye hasten the matter, howbeit the Levites hastened it not.' And the king called for Jehoiada the chief, and said unto him, 'Why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel, for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord, and made a proclamation. And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring into the Lord the collection that Moses, a servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they made an end. It came to pass that at what time the chest was brought into the king's office by the hand of the Levites, when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. Look at verse 13. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they sent the house of God in his state and strengthened it. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. We thank you, Father, for the privilege we have of being your children. We're grateful, God, for what you've done here at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. Father, we are just tremendously blessed to see how you've allowed this renovation to come about. We're just tremendously blessed to see, God, how you have just provided, and Lord, you've given the talents to many that were able to do the actual physical work and to get the work done. And Father, what a testimony to your grace and testimony, Lord, to your love, your mercy and goodness in our lives. So Father, I pray now, bless the remainder of the day afternoon. Thank you for all those that had a part in this ministry and getting this work done. And Lord, I pray a special blessings on their life. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Bible tells us that the work of God was perfected by him, verse 13. And the house of God, they literally set the house of God in his state and they strengthened it. Now, what's interesting when you look at this particular passage of Scripture is to notice several things very quickly about this passage. We see, first of all, that this renovation process, keep in mind that the house of God was very special to Joash. Joash was a young man. I mean, phenomenal story. If you read the earlier chapters in the book of 2 Chronicles that give us the story of Joash. Joash was a young man when he was a baby, whenever his grandmother, just a wicked, wicked woman who wanted all of the heirs to the throne to be killed. If her son couldn't have it, she didn't want anybody to have it. So therefore, this Joash was rescued by his aunt, and she literally took Joash and she hid him in the house of the Lord. Now, what you have to keep in mind, though, that the house of the Lord at that time, and Joash, when they rescued him and put him in the house of the Lord, it wasn't a very good thing to look at. It had been broken down. As a matter of fact, I've already read to you the passage that Athaliah, the wicked woman, had broken up the house of God. And we read that in the earlier verses of 2 Chronicles 24. She had literally wreaked havoc of it. So it's there it lies. It lies in disrepair. And Joash, you could see him as he grows up in the house of God, and he grows up as a young man being hid in the house of God. You know, I said to you very, very early on in the process of this renovation was in the context of giving, to the building program. My statement was this: if Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church has been a blessing to you, give. If it hasn't, don't give. And I think that's pretty clear, amen? I think that is, let me ask you this, isn't that a fair statement? Isn't that a fair thought? Because, ladies and gentlemen, Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord his God because the house of the Lord his God meant something to him. The house of God literally had saved his life. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, I've been a pastor for a while, and the longer I pastor, and I know even in my own life, and you've heard me make this statement, but let me also make it again. The house of God didn't save my soul, but the house of God did save my life. It saved me from a life of perhaps a different direction. It saved me from a life of heartache and saved me from a life of bad choices. And when God saved me when I was 16 and brought me there to the First Baptist Church of Alexandria there in Alexandria, Kentucky, and put me in a youth group, and they began to love on me, and my pastor, Brother Morton, began to love on me and pour himself into my life, he and Mrs. Morton. And here I was, just a redneck kid who grew up literally barefoot, just not wearing shoes half the time. I hate not wearing shoes now, amen? You can tell people that don't wear shoes when they touch your skin, it rips your leg because their shoes feel like sandpaper.
I'm going to leave that alone. I ain't going to tell you about it to anybody I know, but we'll leave that alone. But here I am growing up as a kid in Kentucky and raised majority of my life by my grandparents, Ed and Rosie Mays. And I honestly went through portions of my life thinking, man, does anybody care? Does anybody love me? And what a remarkable transition in my life when God allowed me through the care and love of Surrey and Earl Goad, who was my aunt and uncle, Doug Goad's mom and dad, who started picking me up and taking me to church as a teenager, 15 years old. They started taking me to church, and I would hear Brother Morton preach. And through that, God saved me, changed my life, and, of course, got rolled into the church and rolled into the youth group and rolled into the ministry there. But the love that the house of God had for my life was remarkable. So here's Joash, and many of you, by the way, many of you sitting in this room today, the house of God has been a tremendous blessing to you, is it not? Sure it has. There's many sitting in this room right now. The house of God has saved the life of your teenagers. The house of God has saved the life of your marriages. Amen? The house of God has saved the life of your own life, your personal life. You say, preacher, man, when I came, we've had it. I'm telling you, in the last 10 years, we've seen people walk in these doors, buddy. They've been pretty, they're dragging. We've seen them come in, and they've come in, they're hurt, and they've come in, and they're just literally at a loss for words because they've been maybe hurt in another church, or maybe they've been made fun of or ridiculed or what have you. And they've come in, they're so discouraged. We've seen people come in these doors, and I'm telling you, it's remarkable to see what God has done in your life. And we see Joash here. He's minded. The Bible says he's minded to repair the house of the Lord. I often think about Joash, and I wonder in my mind, I wonder what it was that motivated him. Perhaps was it because he remembered growing up, and he remembered running through the house of the Lord. You know, it's awesome. And now, you know me as a preacher, all the time tell you, those of you had little kids, be careful with them running around here because these pews are hard. I'm telling you, they're hard. Was it Cameron Bellinger that found out firsthand? Little Cameron Bellinger was running around one day, and he hit the pew, bam, and down, he staggered, and down he went and passed right out, man. So you be careful with kids running around here. Just maybe, you know, just keep an eye on them so they don't get hurt. I'd hate them to get hurt. But anyway, I think of Joash, and maybe Joash remembers running through the house of the Lord and remembers, you know, just how maybe he had fun. I mean, you know how kids are. I mean, it's awesome to see when the kids come and the little kids come into the church. Man, I'm telling you, their legs are doing this in the air. You know what I mean? And their legs are doing this in the air, and as soon as they hit the ground, man, they're gone. And they have to, you know, we just find them before you leave. That's the only rule I have. Find them before you go home. Amen. And so my wife wanted another baby, so we got a dog. Amen. It's very similar, but we got a dog. And that was actually thankful to Brother and Sister Randolph. We love that little dog. She's having a lot of fun. But she does bark at 1 o'clock in the morning when she wants to go out and use the bathroom. And if you don't get up, she barks louder. I'm just telling you, Scott. It's a true story. And teenagers, they refuse to get up. It's just terrible. And dad refuses to get up. So guess who gets up? My wife gets up, and she loves on the puppy. Amen. At least that's what we call it. But Joash, he's minded to repair the house of the Lord. Now, interestingly enough about Joash, the Bible says in verse 2 that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Joash was a young man that put in just a few thoughts very briefly about this passage. We see his thoughtful preparation. Here is Joash. He's his thoughtful preparation to repair the house of the Lord his God. Here he is, 7 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Zebiah. We know that Joash had mentors who guided him in those early years of his life. But what a tremendous aspect of his life and what a tremendous joy it was to see him being able to give back, because if the house of God was a blessing to him, then he in turn, here's the principle, he in turn then wanted to be a blessing to the house of God. Amen? That's, by the way, that's the way it ought to work. If the house of God is a blessing to us, then sweet friend, we, if we're going to be like Jesus and be Christ-like, then the house of God, so we should want to be a blessing to it. So Joash says, you know what? I can't do everything, but I can do something. I can't do everything, but I can do something. He was minded. The Bible says he did that which was right.
the days of his life of Jehoiada. He did right things, and he was minded to repair it. So he put thoughtful preparation in repairing the house of the Lord his God. Sweet friend, there was a lot of thoughtful preparation that went into the renovation process here. The hours, I mean, seriously, the hours upon hours upon hours of preparation that it took to get it done, to leading up for months and months and months. Brother Bill spent hours, Dave Moon spent hours getting the stuff together and getting it sent here and sent there and emails here and emails there. And we even kept Brother Steve Wiggins from killing people. It was remarkable, just the preparation that went into it before we could even hammer one nail into anything, all the preparation, all the processes of it. You see, you know, it's interesting because a lot of things were just in our minds and in our hearts. We knew it was of God, but remarkably, the Lord Jesus gave us people that could understand what we were trying to articulate. We knew God was in it, amen? We knew God wanted it to be done. And I'll just tell you right now, I sincerely mean this. It has exceeded my expectation of what we could do. I mean, that's sincere. I mean that sincerely. I mean, you all that have done the work, you didn't just do the work. You took it to the next level. Remarkably have taken it to the next level. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we talk about the physical work. We talk about the physical aspects of the building. But so Joash, this thoughtful preparation, he knew. Joash was a young man that understood that if he could get it done, God would bless him. If he would start it, the Lord Jesus would bless it. But in turn, God would use it to reach more people. Let me show you a phenomenal statement. Actually, notice the statement today. Notice a phenomenal statement that is a description of the house of God. Look at verse 6. King called for Jehoiada, the chief, and said to him, "Why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord?" Now, you remember the story. Joash said, here's what we're going to do. We need money to repair the house of God. So what we're going to do is we're going to build a chest. We're going to build this box, this chest, if you will. Thus, where we get the term, the Joash box or the Joash chest. So Joash says, we're going to build this box, and we want people. You send out a decree, and you tell people to come by and put their offerings in it, and we'll take it, and we'll use it to rebuild the temple. We'll refurbish the house of God. So they didn't listen right away. So Joash said, hey, wait a minute, why didn't you do that? And then notice what Joash calls the house of God. I think this is awesome. Look at this passage, verse 6. According to the commandment of Moses, serving the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel, here's what he calls it, for the tabernacle of witness. The tabernacle of witness. Ladies and gentlemen, is that not a great description of what Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church should be? We should be a tabernacle, if you will, of witness. What are we witnessing? We are witnessing to a lost and dying world that Jesus Christ is a big deal here. Amen. This house of God is for him. It's his. This church is his. You say, yeah, but preacher, you know, here we are, Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. We're the church. This is just a building. You're absolutely right, sweet friend, but understand this principle. Yes, this is just a building, but I promise you, it's more than just a building. It's a building that has been dedicated to the house of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when this community looks at us and they see us, we ought to be witnessing about what Jesus Christ can do. And I'm just telling you right now, our neighbors are seeing us and our neighbors are watching us. You say, that's kind of spooky, preacher. Yeah, it kind of is, actually, when you think about it. They're looking at you. But no, seriously, they're watching us. Matter of fact, one of our neighbors in the back corner, Bo, they call him Bo. I don't know what his real name is. But he said to me a couple of years back, he said, man, he said, preacher, he said, you're getting a few more people in there, aren't you? I was like, yeah. I said, man, the Lord's really blessed. He goes, yeah. He said, you guys are parking further out into the parking lot. I said, amen. I said, God's been doing amazing things. Joash called it the tabernacle witness. Why? Because it was saying something. A witness was somebody who said something about what they've seen, what they've heard. They give testimony. That was what a witness was. And Joash now is saying, hey, it's a tabernacle of witness. It is saying something. Ladies and gentlemen, this church is saying something. This building is saying something. You know, I said to you early on, we ran into some little negativity, didn't we, Brother Bill? Brother Don, we ran into a little bit of, you know, we shouldn't do this kind of thing. And, you know, why are we doing this? And finally, I said, you know what? I said, I'll tell you what. I said, if the carpet in this building is so good, take it and put it in your house. Can I get a witness in the building? There's none of us that would you know. And I even said this. I said, tell you what, when we rip it out and we put it all together, we're going to save it and you can take it home with you. Oh, and by the way, we'll throw in a spare roll of duct tape to hold it down. Amen? No, this building is saying something. And my prayer before the Lord God today is this, that it says, what a mighty God we serve. When people walk in those doors, they ought to be able to see, you know what? These people really do care about this building. This building represents, it is absolutely, is a representation to the grace of God and the mercy of God in our life. So Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord, his God. He had thoughtful preparation. He absolutely understood that it wasn't just going to happen. Somebody had to step up and do something. And may I remind you that the house of the Lord, his God, had laid that way for a long, long time. It had been in disrepair for many, many years. And their people would come and they would go. There are people that would, you know, this person would come and then this person would go on. But the point was, Joash said, you know what? Maybe I could do something about it. Maybe God could use me to do something about the condition of the church. Maybe God could use me to do, and of course, understand the context. I'm just kind of drawing a parallel here. Maybe the attitude would be this. Maybe God could use me to do something about Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. And by the way, friend, God has used you. He's used you tremendously. You say, preacher, but all I did was, you know, maybe some ceiling tile. Or all I did was just maybe help clean up a little bit. All I did was work out here in the soffits. And maybe all, listen, that reminds you of a biblical principle. You ready for this? Here it is. Little is much when God is in it. Everybody's job mattered the same. Everybody's job mattered the same. You say, Pastor, all we did was maybe come and cooked a few meals for some of the workers. Have you ever seen us when we get hungry? Amen. Fellas, if your wife gets aggravated and gets mean when he gets hungry, just throw on some pots of boiling water. Even if you can't cook anything, he'll thank you're cooking. Amen. He'll calm right down just to think that food's being cooked. Joash was minded. We see, secondly, we notice the faithful dedication of the people. The faithful dedication of the people talks about it in verse number 9. They made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring into the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And notice verse 10. And all the princes, let me interject something real quick. This was a proclamation for people to bring their money to the church. To bring their money, if you will, to the house of God. You can talk about just about anything with men and people. You can talk about the weather. Amen. You ought to talk about the weather. If you don't talk about the weather, it's because you're weird. I'm telling you. Weather's a good thing. You talk about sports. Talk about all kinds of things. But if you want to upset people a lot of times, talk about their money. But may I remind you of something? The money that you have, or the money you have in your wallet, I don't have any money, I have debit cards. Well, the money that's in the bank, listen, that belongs to God. Amen. It all belongs to him. You say, preacher, yeah, but what do you mean? No, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, if I understand the Bible correctly, it's God who gives us the grace and the ability to get gain. So he puts out a proclamation for the people to bring the collection, to bring the money in. Now, why are they bringing in the money in? To build some empire for a preacher? No. They're bringing in the money to repair the house of the Lord their God. And that, listen, that's what you all are doing. You all are bringing, and you're giving the money, and it's being used to pay down the mortgage. We don't want to, listen, the last thing in the world we want to do is stay in debt. Amen? Our goal is not to live in debt. Our goal is to get it paid off and to move forward so we can do something else. The people, they had faithful dedication. It's interesting when you look at this passage how they gave. They gave obediently. They gave joyfully. They gave voluntarily.
It's remarkable when you see that. Also, that nobody's name is mentioned. They gave the unknown, they're unnamed heroes. And I know, sincerely know that, and we didn't do it intentionally, but I know there's been more people that have been a part of this building renovation. To be honest, there's been so many. I mean, we didn't write them all down. There's been many people that have showed up. We even had work days. We had work days when people that had been visiting the church were showing up helping on the work days. You say, what were their name? I can't remember their name. That's why God gave us the title brother and sister. Amen? Don't know somebody's name. Hey, brother, good to see you. Hey, sister, how you doing? No, but they showed up, and that's the way these people were. But then I want to give you one more thing, and I'm done. Notice the beautiful renovation. You see, the money came in. God provided it. And then notice what they did with the money. They did with the money what we did with the money. Look at it. The Bible says in verse 11, it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought into the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. This was not just a one-time offering. This was a continual thing. As a matter of fact, you see in the passage, they did it year after year after year after year. And by the way, friend, that's the way it ought to be. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? You say, Pastor, but yeah, when we get this paid off, we get that gym built and we get that paid off, we're done. We'll never be done. Amen? Listen, as long as the church is alive, there's ministry opportunity. Now, here's the difference. You know the difference about being a part of a living church versus a dead one? A living church, we give. A dead church, you don't have to give anything. Amen? I mean, a dead church, keep your money. A dead church, you know, keep your talents. A dead church, keep your time, your treasures. Keep your, you know, a dead church. But a church that is alive, a church that is hopefully making an impact, a church that is hopefully being a tabernacle witness, a church that is trying to reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's something worth giving to. And by the way, friend, I'm thankful to be part of a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear my heart. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on Jesus. I'm thankful to be part of a church where the Lord Jesus Christ has literally chosen to bless, chosen to raise up out of the dust, if you will. And to see what God has done is amazing. I mean, it really is amazing. To know 10 and a half years ago, there was 22 people in the first service I ever preached here at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. 22 people. Wow. There's more than that in the choir now. And it wasn't that there was just 22 people. They were scattered all throughout the building. So I'd preach to one over here, two over here, you know, two or three over here. Then you had the moon group, you know, over here. But no, to see what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. I mean, you seriously, you don't have to be a deep theologian to just sit and say, what a mighty God. May I remind you, statistics prove that most churches that get down to like it was, most churches, statistically proven, they padlock the door. Most. But God, for some reason, has chosen to raise up Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. Let me tell you why. To reach more people for Christ. To make more difference, to make more of a difference for His kingdom and for His glory in this lost and dying world. May I remind you, though, that we're not done. May I remind you that we're here for those yet unreached. We see this beautiful restoration. Look at verse 12. So they gathered the money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada, look at verse 12, gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So they repaired, but they also mended. They took the money and they hired it out. They hired people to do the work. There's no doubt in my mind that ones that could do certain things did those things. But there were certain areas of the renovation that they weren't able to do, so they hired that out. And by the way, friend, you are aware, right, that this renovation, we kept it in budget, $200,000. You gave substantially. I think we financed 147. We financed, I think, about 147,000 of the 200,000. And I say, to God be the glory. Amen? That's less interest. So we kept it in budget. But you are aware, right, that had we had to pay for everything, and had we had to hire out and pay every trade and every situation and pay full price for all the sound, the audio, the video, and all kind of stuff, it probably, realistically, and I've talked to some of the men about this, it probably would have cost us $350,000 to $400,000. Wow. What an amazing God. Amen. What an amazing God. Oh, and by the way, only God could do something like that. This beautiful renovation. So the Bible says, look at verse 13. So the workmen wrought, and they worked. Many of you are falling asleep because you've worked, and you've worked, and you've worked. You've worked hard. And I thank you for that. Man, you showed up early. You stayed late. Brother Stephen was here last night till 11 o'clock putting some of the slides together and things. And we were working. You say, preacher, you even got your office clean. I did, but just don't look in the bathroom. Or if you do, look in it like this. Amen? Look at verse 13 here. Notice this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful renovation. Verse 13 says, so the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them. Literally completed. And then notice this. And they set the house of God in his state and strengthened it. Literally, the house of God that Joash had saved his life, they literally, here's what they did. They brought it back to its original condition. They brought it back. They brought it back to the beautiful place that it should be. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, in my opinion, should be one of the most beautiful places in this city. You say, preacher, that's kind of arrogant. No. God knows my heart in this. He deserves it. He deserves it. And we live in a culture, friend. I said this at a deacons and trustees meeting one morning when it was brought up and about, we, you know, perhaps we should wait. And I said to him, I said, my heart concern is this. I said, I wonder how many prospective, perhaps members, that we lose when they come in, they see duct tape holding the carpet down. They come in, they see stains all over the ceiling tiles. I honestly wondered. I said, if we're going to do it, we need to do it now. And I said, but when we start it, we need to finish it. And thank God, we're just about there. I've talked about the physical aspects. What are the spiritual aspects? You know what? I can honestly say this, and I know this to be fact. Since this renovation, we come now to just about the completion of it. Our goal was that we can get it beautified so we can reach more people for Christ. Right? Do you know today at 3:48 in the afternoon, I can honestly tell you, we're reaching more people for Christ today than we were 6 months ago, 7 months ago. That ought to be our goal, and it's coming to fruition. The internet ministry. I get Facebook messages and emails a lot. Now, those of you that said, preach, I've been sending you emails in the church email. Well, Stephen's got to get with me on that because I have yet to figure out how to get into that. So pray for me. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, amen? But I'm working on it. I'm getting a little higher tech, if you will. We're reaching all over this country. We're reaching all over the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. We're going to give an invitation. The invitation is this.
First, if you're here and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, sweet friend, I encourage you right now to repent of your sin and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus alone, believing that Christ died, that he was buried, that he rose again. And by repenting and trusting Christ as your Savior, you get born again. And then when you're saved, follow the Lord in baptism, become part of this local fellowship. We'd love to have you. Our doors are always wide open. We'd love to have you serve God and worship the Lord Jesus Christ with us. Maybe today you'd like to come forward at this altar and just pray and asking God to continue to watch over Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. I mean, it wasn't easy. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that it was easy getting through this program, getting through this process, if you will, and getting through this renovation. We faced some dark days coming through it and all that, but God sustained us and the Lord blessed. And you know, you guys kept going. We almost killed a few of you, but you guys kept going, and I'm thankful for that. So that's the invitation. Stand with me, please, for an invitation now. But Stephen's going to come and lead us.